Torah mentions that on the eighth day, of course, is the eighth day after the Chanukah Samishkan. So the Torah describes a number of karbanos that were offered up. There actually are three seirim that I mentioned over here. And I'll just briefly mention the three seirim. One is the seir of Nachshon and Aminadab. One is the seir, which is called the seir izim, Lachatos, the very beginning of the Pasha. And that was Lachaper al Maisa Egel. That was the second seir that was offered. And the third seir is the seir of Rosh Chodesh. So there are three seirim. There's the seir of Nachshon ben Aminadab. There's the seir, which is the seir izim lachatos to atone for the chel ha'egel. And then there's the seir of Rosh Chodesh. With reference to the seir of Rosh Chodesh, there's a series of famous psukim that the Torah has over here, or if you will, a critique that was leveled by Moshe Rabbeinu against Aaron. That Aaron and his children essentially transgressed a divine commandment. That's found over here, in the Chumash, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tezayin. You undoubtedly are aware of what happened over here, the death of Nadab Avihu in the beginning of Perek Yud, which hopefully I'll get to discuss a little bit later. So Aaron and his children had the status of Onanim, and Onanim is someone who, Rachman al-Islam, loses a car of Mishpacha prior to the Gvura, and an Onanim is not permitted to eat kachin. That we know from the Pasuk Psukim that are found in the context of the din of Idun Maisa. The Torah says, "Lachalti v'oni v'menu, lo v'yati v'menu v'tomei, lo v'sati v'menu l'mes," and only can eat kachin. However, during the days of the consecration of the Mishkan, they were obligated to consume the mincha. And that's what the Pasuk says over here in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayidaber Moshe al Aaron ve'alozer ve'lisom abonim ha'nosarim kichu es ha'mincha ha'nosarim nisi Hashem, take the mincha that's left, v'yichu ha'matzos etal mizbeach and eat it, ki kodesh kadosh ini. And they were told further, v'achaltim osav v'makam kadosh, to eat it in the holy place, ki chokcha v'chokvonecha yimei ishe Hashem, ki chen tzumeisi. I know there's an explicit commandment to eat kashim in the state of Aninus. Even though they're an onan, but kashim can be eaten in the state of Aninus. If that's the case, why did they burn the soil of Rosh Chodesh? That's in Pasuk Tezayin. Ve'esir achatas, darash darash Moshe, v'inei sorav. That soil was burnt. And over there, Moshe Rabbeinu, vayiktov. Moshe Rabbeinu becomes angry, and Moshe inquired about the soil as a chatas, and he tells Aaron and his children, "Madua lo achaltem es achatos b'mekom hakodesh, ki kodesh kadoshim hi." This is also kodesh kadoshim. Be also nasanochem, loses tzavono eidah lechaper aleil l'vnei Hashem. Hey, mahuva esdam el hakodesh penima, ochol tochu osav hakodesh kasher tzivetsi. The argument of Moshe Rabbeinu was, why don't you listen? Why don't you execute? Why don't you carry out the commandment of Hashem as far as that soyer was concerned? I'm not going to go into all the detail regarding this particular matter. Aaron defends himself, and Aaron essentially argues that if Moshe heard a directive that an onan can be lenient, that's only regarding what's called kachay shah. Kachay shah is kachim that was holy only at that particular time. But as far as kachay doros, that which is kodesh for all generations, it's not relevant. And those the offerings of the consecration and that of Nachshon were kachay shah. The Sora of Rosh Chodesh is called kachay doros. And there you're not allowed to be lenient. Or in the language of Aaron HaKohen, he said, and that's found here in Pasuk Yutes, "Vayidaber Aaron al Moshe, hein hayom, hikrivus chatosim esarosim le Hashem, batikren osi kaila. V'achalti chatos hayom, ha'itam hein Hashem? Had I eaten the chatos, would Hashem approve?" And right away it said, "Vayishma Moshe, v'ayitam hein." Moshe was masking. The implication is that Moshe himself heard this din from Hashem, but he forgot the din. Vayishma Moshe vayitaveina. Rashi says it explicitly. Rashi here comments, "Hode v'lobo shloma lo shamati." Moshe Rabbeinu admitted that Aaron was right, and was not ashamed to say, "I didn't hear this law. Oh, shamati b'shachachti. I heard it, but I forgot." So I'm not getting into the details of the Sayer. I'm interested in this last piece of Rashi that I just mentioned. And the obvious question that automatically comes to the fore is, what answer is more embarrassing? When a person says, I didn't learn something, I never studied that particular sugya, I have no connection to it, or is it more embarrassing to say, I learned it and forgot it? From the Lashon of Rashi, Rashi sources the Gemara in Zvachim, one can infer the embarrassment is greater when a person is compelled to say, I heard it and I forgot it. And yet Moshe, with incredible modesty, just one second, with unbelievable anava, was not embarrassed to say, I heard it and I forgot it. The reason why this is difficult is because it's against the Gemara in Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Kuf Yud Tes, where the Gemara says the following. It's printed over here. The Gemara says in Shabbos, in Daf Kuf Yud Tes, I'm not going to again go through the entire sugya, but the Gemara talks about the honesty of the people of Yerushalayim, even during the Churban HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Ketina, Afim B'shas Kishmona She Yerushalayim Lo Paskei B'menu Anshei Amuna, that they were always honest. The Gemara cites the Pasuk in Shayo, and Rashi refers to this Pasuk as referring to an individual who acknowledges the truth, that because of his lack of Amala B'Torah, Rashi says, B'modei Al HaEmes, a person acknowledges the fact that because he was not Yogea B'Torah, that's why Ein Lechem, Ein Simla, Ein B'Yad Lo Mikra, Lo Mishnah, Lo Gemara, he doesn't know anything in Tanakh, doesn't know anything in Mishnah, doesn't know anything in Gemara, and the Gemara interprets the Psukim not related to someone who learned and forgot, but rather the Gemara interprets the Psukim here, the Gemara in Shabbos, that Kufi Tes, understands the Psukim is referring to someone who did not expend any effort, he didn't apply himself, and yet the Gemara says he's still seen as an honest person. The Maskana of this Gemara is that testimony and not learning is more embarrassing than a person who learned and forgot. Much more embarrassing. So you have a stira between two Mamar Chazal. A stira between Rashi and this week's Parsha. The Rashi talks about an individual such as Moshe Rabbeinu. Hoda, he was able to acknowledge, V'lo bo shlomar, lo shamati, ob shamati v'shachachti, I forgot. And yet the Gemara there, in Masechet Shabbos, could be a test, seems to indicate it's far more embarrassing for a person to say, I never expended the effort to learn that piece of Gemara, or to learn that piece of Tanakh, and the like. You have an outright stira. This stira is asked by the Taz in his commentary on the Torah. The Taz has a parish al Torah called Shelas David, and he asked this kasha, and he resolves it. He distinguishes between a person who expends toil and energy to learn Torah, but due to ones, due to duress, due to extraordinary circumstances, forgot that which you learned. That's one situation. The other person is an individual who never expended any effort to learn, and therefore has nothing to forget. He never learned. L'chatchila. So obviously, there's little to forget. So it's readily apparent that which situation is far more embarrassing? The person who never expended any effort. Who never tried, never learned b'igiyah, never learned any kind of amala. And this is how the Taz is the Yashi of the Kasha, and therefore he says the embarrassment to Moshe was not so great. And yet Moshe openly acknowledged the fact, as I said, that yes, I learned the halacha, v'shachachti, I forgot the halacha. Let me just say one more thing. There's no person who learns and toils and is not distressed over his inability to remember all of his learning. Whether it's Gemara, whether it's Mishnah, whether it's Tanakh, whether it's Machshava. However, if one does not learn bichlal, or one does not expend any effort, that's considerably more embarrassing. That's what the Taz says. The Gemara says in Megillah, a Gemara that you're all familiar with, Omer lo yagatu matzasi, al tani. A person who says, I didn't toil, I didn't work, I didn't make any effort, and yet I found. I was zochet to understand Torah, so what does the Gemara say? Don't believe him. He is an egregious liar. He's a prevaricator. He's lying through his teeth. Without any hashka'ah, without any investment of effort, no one can possibly be matzliach in Torah. What yigiyah in Torah does, it purifies the person, it sanctifies the person, it exalts the person, it distances you from the influences of the street. They say the Vilna Gaon, a number of occasions, there were malachim that came to him. and wanted to reveal to him secrets of the Torah. And the Gaon told Rav Chaim Baloshina, I think he told Rav Zalman Baloshina, was the brother of Rav Chaim Baloshina, not to accept him either. Because the Gaon said that the Torah that one acquires with toil and effort is much more chavid in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more than all of the Torah that, shall we say, is revealed to a person by Malachi HaShemes, by Malachim who come to him and reveal to him all kinds of secrets of the Torah. In other words, a person who is Yagia Batorah unquestionably will be Zochet to Siyat HaDishmaya. That's what the Gemara says. Yagatu Matzasa Tami. A person who toils in Torah and found, was able, Baruch Hashem, to discover Chidushim and the like, pearls and the like, unquestionably, he will merit, that individual, heavenly assistance, Siyat HaDishmaya. The more the Torah is etched in my mind, in my heart, in the recesses of my neshama, of my soul, the greater my success, and at the same time, the more my desire to learn Torah. They asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, how is it that you're able to remember, it seems like, everything? Rav Moshe knew Kol HaTorah Kula by heart. My Rebbe told me, on Nisan Albert, Zatzal, Rav Moshe used to wake up every day at 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. And he didn't go to sleep at 5 p.m. the previous night. He went to sleep usually, Rav Moshe, between 10 and 11 every night. And he woke up at 4. From 4 to 7, Rav Moshe wrote tshuvas. He used to write maybe between 25 and 50 tshuvas every morning, by heart. Everything was written by Peh, referring to Gemaras and Magen Avrams and Shachs and Taz. He knew it all by heart. They asked Rav Moshe, how? Where did you acquire such a memory? So Rav Moshe's Rebbesin said, because he was a shikker. He was drunk. Every day for him was Purim. In what respect? He was so drunk to learn Torah, he was a shikker. When it came to learning Torah, everything to him was so consequential. Every single Magen Avraham, every Taz, every Shach, every Gemara, every Rashi, every Tosis was so consequential. It was so important to him, he was able to remember it. That's what Rav Moshe and his Rebbe sit together. That's how we resolve this question. One second more, if you don't mind. So if one sees the Torah as one's lifeline, the chances of remembering the Torah that you learn will increase in quantum leaps. Ma'ahavti Torah Secha, Kol Hayom Misichasi. I love the Torah so much, it's essentially my entire conversation. Because even when a person is ensconced in his struggles to eke out a living, to eke out a panasa, involved with families, but to the extent that a person is committed to Limud HaTorah, there's no question he'll be zochet to unbelievable Siyat HaDishmaya. And therefore, the embarrassment of a person who never learned, or never really expended any effort or any energy to acquire learning, is far greater than the person who may have learned, but because of duress and other situations of stress and the like, is not able to remember. The Gemara says, Luke Megirsa, saying Gemara Megillah, Siyat HaDishmaya. You want to remember what you learned? That needs a little Siyat HaDishmaya. Okay, let's stop.
Just a question, when the Taz says that it's easier for it's easier for a person to just say that I didn't learn it. Was it correct?
Yeah.
Say that I didn't learn it. It sounds like we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here. It sounds like fine, he wasn't Amal. How could we say he wasn't Amal first of all? And second,
the Taz is interpreting it that the reason why he forgot is not because of Amalam. He forgot because of Lachas. Lachas means pressure in people's lives. No question that pressure can really, what Lachas can do. They say, Achsir Shavuot, if I can, after Purim, I'm allowed to say it. It says, Al Shnei Lachem Yitzu Smimin. Everyone ever seen that? In the Zvirus of Shabbos? Al Shnei Lachem. There are two Lachems. That over these two Lachems, the Yom Zem Chubad, Yitzu Tzmimin. Tzmimin, Yitzu will be broken. What two Lachems are we referring to? Number one is a person's wife. How do we know a person's wife is called lechem? Pasuk chumash. Ki malechem ashu ochel. Vayyosef batzadik. Ki malechem ashu ochel. The story of Eshet Potiphera. Vayyosef tetorah feimara. So if a person has the right wife, which Mir Hashem, all you should be zochet to, trust me, it will catapult you to incredible heights. If you have the wrong wife, that can break you. And the other lachem is pshutu gemashma. What's the other lachem? Panasa. Make a living. People who are not able to make a living or have difficulties, I know, unfortunately, a number of people in the last number of years who, because of the economic times and the turbulence and what have you that exists now, they're having major difficulty, and that has really broken them. Al shtei lechem, say the chassidim, yivsu tzminim. So when a person is under lachatz, all kinds of lachatz, it has an effect on your learning as well. Gemara says in Seita, shmaitzubo yitzlusuk yemid istamta. Learning requires being chilled out. Requires tzlusa, equanimity. If you don't have equanimity, it's hard to learn. When you have many things in your mind, and when you're constantly preoccupied with all kinds of tzaras, it's hard to learn. So that's the Habataz understands, not the Chas v'Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu was not involved in Avodah Shel Torah. That's a very difficult thing to say. But Moshe Rabbeinu, there was lachatz. But the Taz's point is that it's far more embarrassing to say, I did not learn, I didn't spend any effort, I didn't really try, I wasn't consistent in my learning. That's far more embarrassing than what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shamati v'shachachti. I learned, but I forgot. Yeah, Shalom.
You mentioned.
Okay, now I'm going to connect this to the beginning of the parsha. It's another Babil. And of course, I will, the Yisod I'm going to take from a beautiful Sefer called Discourses. My favorite Yisod in the entire Sefer is in this week's parsha. It's in Shmini. My favorite Yisod. And I'm going to re-articulate it in a different way, if you don't mind. But those who saw it know more or less that what was the chet of another Babil? Correct. Even the Chazal had many chatoyim. Number one, they came drunk to the Beis Hamikdash. That's why they have the fashion that follows upon the heels of it. A second chet, according to the Medrash, they were more alak when they robbed. They passed the shayla in the presence of the Rebbe. A third chet, according to the Medrash, they didn't get married. They weren't in the mitzvah pruvu. A fourth chet, according to the Medrash, is on and on. The Medrash has a long list of chatoyim, which essentially I think they all have one thing in common. Anyone who's familiar with the Sefer or with the article, Ish HaLacha, they understand it very well. The Rav, Zechen Lebracha, distinguishes between what he calls the Ish HaTara, the Ganayim, and the Ish HaDat. What's the distinction between those two?
Homo religiosus and halachic man.
Correct. What's the difference between homo religiosus and halachic man? In a nutshell, where's Gabe? He's not here.
Experience.
What?
Experience.
One attempts essentially to do what? To escape the Earth's gravitational pull. And if you will, soar into a kind of spiritual stratosphere. That's one individual. The other one realizes that what one has to do is bring the Kedusha from upstairs, bring it downstairs here on Earth, and operate on Earth as a homo religiosus, as a religious personality, as a firm individual who obviously interacts with the world at large, with all of its ups and downs, etc., as opposed to trying to escape the Earth's gravitational pull, just using Newton as a model. What?
Which is impossible.
Which, of course, is impossible, obviously. And that is exactly the distinction between the two. And that's why the Rav, of course, idolizes halachic man. So what they try to do, l'chora, according to these midrashim, number one, by not fulfilling the mitzvah pruvu, by trying to create some artificial, ecstatic kind of environment, by akrim of Hashem eis zara. But our Soloveitchik said that there are two ways to approach Hashem. I'll just summarize the article very quickly. One is the pagan way, and one is the, let's call it the homo religiosus way. The pagan way is essentially to try to create some sort of ecstasy. How does one do that? Through the Purim mode. What is the Purim mode? Through drink, through drinking, through inebriation, through intoxication, through lahavdil, drugs, and other kinds of, shall we say,
stimulation.
Exactly, other kinds of stimulation, which essentially is designed to catapult me to a different, as I said before, a different mode, different modality. But that is unfortunately something which is transient, that's something which does not stick to your ribs, that's something which does not remain. It's a very temporary kind of approach, one which has no achiza in reality, one that does not, the person is not able to somehow maintain that kind of ecstasy for an extended period of time. The Jewish approach is to fulfill the mitzvahs, to surrender to Hashem Yisbarach, and hopefully little by little, the example I always give, which I've given here many times, is the way to get down to the other side of the goalposts, either through a 80-yard touchdown pass, which often is deflected, or intercepted, overthrown, underthrown, and in many cases, probably 80% of the cases I imagine does not work. Ashenki, when you grind out the yardage, little by little, you eventually get to the goalposts, and you do so with chokhmah, with seichel, with pichus, with blocking, with yardage, with first downs and the like, with fullbacks and all the other people, personnel that are available to you, and that is where you develop a kingdom effort. You have, it becomes part of you, as opposed to something which is very distant to you. So one of the approaches, the 80-yard attempt to throw a pass, is the pagan approach. It's the approach that just looks for ecstasy, intoxication, inebriation. That is the approach. But it usually leads to disillusionment, disgruntlement, frustration, ennui, and the like. Mashenke, the second approach, is the approach which will, as I said, give you a kinyan benefesh. So now I want to talk about that, which is not what the Rav Soloveitchik says, completely reformulated in a different way. Yeah?
Would that also contrast the views of B'nai Kabbalah versus practicing halacha?
In many respects, but I can't get into it because I have no, shall we say, competence in Kabbalah. So I can't really speak about it intelligently. Any Eisek B'nai Starot. However, I believe what you said has more than a grain of truth to it.
Rav writes it in halacha.
I'm sorry?
Rav writes about it.
Yes, he does. I want to now show you the following yisod of the Rav and just explain it to you in light of, let me just mention the last thing is that Rav Soloveitchik said one of the key words by another Babiyu, that's what you have in the pieces of paper in front of you. Everyone, just give me a piece of paper so they can see it at least. It says, Vayakrivu b'fnei Hashem eis zara. The approach was la'abdil. They were great tzaddikim, but still the approach was an incorrect one. They decided to create some sort of an ecstasy, artificial, ecstatic stimuli. And the chet was Hashem lo tzivo osam. They didn't follow the daki Hashem. They didn't follow the tzivi Hashem. This same idea I would like to discuss in light of an Arachayim HaKadosh. There's an Arachayim HaKadosh who actually discussed this in the context of, if you remember, on Yom Kippur morning, the Avodah that takes place, if you have a Chumash, you can actually see the Pesukim, I'll show it to you. Beginning of the Pasach HaMemos, first Pasach, Perek Tezayin, Pasach Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem of Moshe, HaMemos Shnei Bnei Aaron, the two children of Aaron died. There are only two times in Chumash where the two children of Aaron's death are described. One is in this week's Pasach Shemini, and one is the first Pasach of HaMemos. And what does it say in the first pasuk of Echaveimos? Why did they die? The last four words. B'karvasam l'fei Hashem v'yomusam. Translate.
Coming close to Hashem died.
What does that mean? And the answer is the following. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel where the Navi says, and this is your area.
Not
us. Not available here. Have to sit on the floor. You have a chair? The Nabi said, let me just finish this point. I didn't start it yet. Yeah.
It's also about Midbar.
I'm sorry?
It's also in Parashat Midbar.
What does it say about Midbar? Excellent. Thank you. I stand corrected. Very good. Beautiful. Wait, what Parashat is that in?
By Midbar.
Where? By Midbar. It can only be in one Parashat.
Fourth Elias.
What are the of?
Amidbar.
Okay, so let's find it.
There came up close to God.
Thank you. I appreciate you all what you said. Paragimel, close to God. Vayamas Nodu Vaviyu Lefnei Hashem Vakrivam Eis Zorah Lefnei Hashem Bimbar Sinai. So here it says Vakrivam Eis Zorah. So actually there are three times the Chumash, thank you very much. This slipped my mind. So in the beginning of Bamidbar you have a statement why they died, because the Olmak of Eis Zorah. By Shmini.
Also that you have children also.
Okay, here it does mention it. Vadavayu Lahem, fine. But what I want to discuss is the following idea, which is really the Arachayim HaKadosh's idea. I'm just going to expand it a little bit, if you don't mind. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and the reason why I'm mentioning the pasuk in Yecheskel is because it relates to the pasuk in Acharemos I just spoke about a moment ago. The pasuk in Yecheskel speaks about V'hachayos Ratzo Basho. This is your area. So you're more... What?
I wish.
You wish.
After
you finish Nigla. You can get to this stuff. V'achayos rotzo v'shov. It speaks about the Chayos HaKodesh. You know, the term Chayos HaKodesh is usually used to describe these little Yerushalmi children. We have some of them in yeshiva. Some of the children of Rabbein, you call them Yerushalmi children. They are mamish chayos hakodesh. Nothing to hear the word hakodesh, but essentially they are chayos. Just to have an element of kodesh to them because they learn a lot of Torah in chadarim or what have you. So they call them chayos hakodesh. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, it speaks about in the Yecheskel's vision that he saw, the chazon that Yecheskel had, v'achayos rotzo v'shov. What does it mean, Rasa Vashov? Running forward, moving ahead with an unbelievable love of Hashem Yisbarach, and then Shov, withdrawing. Or if you want to put it in brisket terms, and easy for you to understand, there's a Rambam that builds the Seder Torah. What does the Rambam say? The Seder Torah, a person looks at the world and sees the beauty, the majesty of the universe. A person is so overwhelmed, what does he come to? Abbas Hashem, the love of God. But at the same moment, he realizes, who am I? I'm but a cog in the wheel. Correct? In the presence of Hashem Yisbarach, I am a cipher. I am a non-entity. I'm a speck of dust. And what does he automatically seize with? Yira. So there's a withdrawal. Correct? He immediately, what's the term?
Jumps back.
Correct. He immediately jumps back. No, there's a constant tension between Ratzo and Shov. That's what the Navi Yecheskel is talking about. And the Rambam speaks about it in terms of Avav Yirach. So what does it mean? When a person enters the Kodesh Kodashim, he has to enter with the awareness that that spiritual high will culminate in Shav. Shav meaning Shin Beis. Coming back. Returning to the realm of the material and mundane. Rabbi Al-Malay actually spoke about it today. Taking the high of Purim and bringing it down to earth after Purim. In other words, this idea of Ratzon V'Shov is very significant. It says the Rachaim HaKadosh, this was the chet of the Rabbi. Acharein bo shnei b'nei Aaron, b'karvasam b'nei Hashem ayamuso. What do they want to do? What does it mean, b'karvasam b'nei Hashem ayamuso? First of all, the pasuk is very difficult. It says, Acharein bo shnei b'nei Aaron, after the death of his two sons, b'karvasam b'nei Hashem. While coming close to Hashem, as the Rachaim interpreted, Vayamusu. Why does it say Vayamusu after the earlier statement? Acharei Moshe, they were the Aaron. You already mentioned the pasuk, they died. Correct? Why does it have to say again? Because us from Hashem Vayamusu. So I told you earlier that the Medrash has a whole list of different reasons. By the way, another reason mentioned by the Medrash is they didn't have the bugadim that were normally worn by the Kohen, required when they performed their duties. Or they didn't marry, they have no children. But the question is, I said, how is it possible for Nadav Avihu, the Torah calls, Bikrovai HaKadosh, they were Kadosh Elyon. How can they commit such an Avera? And the answer is that the transgression was permitting their unbelievably intense emotions of longing for Hashem Yisbarach to cause their actual death. Because the death was caused by the great love they had for Hashem Yisbarach. The karvasa of the Hashem. While they were coming close to Hashem Yisbarach, Vayamusu. That was their sin. Because what did they try to do? They tried to reach what the Rishonim call Hispashtus Hagashmius. What does that mean? Hispashtus Hagashmius means divesting myself of my corporeal self. I reach a level of an outpouring of soul, what's called Ratzo, surging forward, motivated wholly by what? By the love of Hashem. But if that's all I have, and I don't realize the necessity to do what? To withdraw, to return, to perform that service, if you will, in an neshama that's vested in the body, in a goof, in this world, then of course, I missed the boat. It's the same as Sod of Rav Soloveitchik, Ish Hadarat, as opposed to Ish Hadat, religious man, homo religiosus, as opposed to halachic man. There cannot be a complete departure from worldliness. It has to be, I take the world and transform it into an abode for Hashem Yisbarach. You hear what I'm saying? This is the idea of the Pasuk. That's what the Arachai Makodesh says. Their service, the Avod Nadav Avihu, was characterized by Ratzo. A complete spiritual love without the subsequent what? Shove. Ratzon without shove, that itself is an amen. It's a chet. That's what Soloveitchik is saying. That is a pagan approach, ma'avdil, as opposed to the approach of the district. Do you recall the article? I don't know if you read it. I actually Xeroxed it over here. And I believe that that's exactly what Soloveitchik is saying. What he calls the ceremonial approach versus the approach of religious experience. And he writes, I'll just read a little bit. He says, there are two ways to achieve an exalted state. The Jewish way and the pagan way. The Jewish way requires us to fashion our lives according to God's discipline, as illustrated by the term mitzivanu. The reason why we perform a mitzvah is to surrender to the will of Hashem. However, we must progress from surrender to a profound spiritual experience. Tefillah begins as an obligatory, even compelled act with rigid requirements of time, location, and behavior. Especially during the winter. You have to venture out to the cold for minyan early in the morning and night, which the brewer at the very beginning. However, as we progress, we feel the reward of an intimate communion with Hashem Yisbarach. The eating of matzah, and Leil HaSeder, is a response to Hashem's command, Barach Tochlu Matzos. As the evening evolves, eating the matzah becomes an act of love for Hashem Yisbarach. Yom Kippur begins with total surrender. As it progresses, we move towards a joyful catharsis. In brief, the road consists of two steps: obedience to God's command, and thereby discovering the spiritual treasures inherent in it. Mashenki, the pagan approach, one uses drugs or alcohol to create an artificial feeling of euphoria, and often, even though it may begin with excitement, it culminates in sin and disillusion. That yisod is the same yisod of Rasalvechi Gisha Halacha, the same yisod here of the Archaim HaKadosh, Vachayas Ratzo V'Shov, and that's why the pasuk says a second time, if they're only said Acharei Moshe B'nei Aaron, it repeats it again. Bikavasu B'nei Hashem V'Yamusu. This is the reason why the two children of Aaron died. What were their sins caused by? Bikavasu. What does that mean, Bikavasu? Basically, they only wanted to get close to Hashem Yisbarach. They wanted to achieve a high, a spiritual ecstasy that reach expiration, hispashrus agashmis, without a return to worldliness. Exactly the same son. And this is the explanation as well of all the midrashim that I mentioned before. Number one, they were not garbed in the big day kahuna that were required to perform their avodah. Of course, as you know, certainly al-pi chassidus, this is up your alley, al-pi ha-kabbalah, garments refers to what? Bidya nefesh. Garments of the soul. Which of course are the 630 mitzvahs, and many of which are vested in material matters. Their desire was to depart from worldliness, to achieve union with ultimate spirituality. They had no children. They didn't get married. They were not the kind of mitzvah proof of. They wanted to depart from the physical world and just to enter a total spiritual being. Yeah.
Could you explain why they jumped in front of Moshe to
maybe how long did they rabba? According to that, probably it's the same thing. When someone is so involved in the endeavor of reaching Ratzo, just surging forward, then he wants to search forward. There are no bounds, no limitations, no hakbalos. And that led to Mara Halacha B'tei Rabba. Because there were no hindrances, there were no inhibitions, there were no boundaries. When a person reaches the state of Ratzo, so it's not possible for that individual to have any sense of, as I said, lines of demarcation. The whole yisod of Matan Torah, I mentioned this many, many times, is the yisod of discipline. Repeat it again and again in Perek Kites of Parshas Yisrael. The same idea. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Hashem, you already told me. Hashem says, again, tell them. Levim up to this point, Yisrael up to this point, Kohen up to this point. Al Yersu. A person thinks he's going to somehow accomplish incredible things on Shavuos night. He's going to learn the whole Shavuos night, and maybe even learn two nights of Shavuos. He's makpid. on, shall we say, Yom Tov Sheni Shagolis. And so he learns 2 nights straight, he's up. And then, of course, for the next 7 months, he can't function. Person on Purim simply goes berserk and drinks to the point of intoxication, inebriation, and he's, shall we say, saying all kinds of biduyim. I want to be a Talmud Chacham! I want to be a Mateo! I love you, Rebbe! And on and on and on. Wonderful. Gevaldik! I'll invite you to continue after Purim, as opposed to having a hangover for the next 6 weeks. In other words, the way to avoid it by Rebbe, Nisan Albazatzal, I think he said it a little differently. He said that the Gemara says in Chagiga, Agon Nikhtasu the Pardes. 4 people entered the Pardes. Remember? Famous Gemara. Benazai Hitzitsunifka. He gazed and he expired. There was only one, however, the Gemara, where is that? Tafidal on the base.
Not there yet. I'm only there.
Okay. I know you learned Chagiga. Sanyudal. The Gemara said there was one person who was able to emerge. Why is that? And who was that? Abakiva. Nichnas b'shalom, v'yatza b'shalom. He entered in peace and he left in peace. Why? It would seem that the only distinction between Abakiva and his colleagues is the fact that he returned in peace. But as far as the entrance to Pardes, it doesn't seem to be any distinction. Why does the Gemara underscore the fact that Nichnas b'shalom? So my Rebbe said the following. And I'm now reinterpreting what he said in light of the words that I'm using, Loshon Yerachayim HaKadosh. Benazai? He sits with Nifka because he wanted to have what? Rotzo without show. Just outright devotion to Hashem Yisbarach. Clinging to Hashem Yisbarach. And outpouring Yishtaklus HaNefesh. And outpouring of my soul. Without show. And the reason why Rabbi Akiva was Yatzah B'Shalom is, you know why? Because he entered Ratzo Amanas Lashon. He entered with the intention of getting the Kedusha of Purim, getting the Kedusha of whatever Yatzah may be, and bringing it back on earth. And that's why Rabbi Akiva was Nichnas B'Shalom, was Yatzah B'Shalom, because he was Nichnas B'Shalom. He was Ratzo Amanas Lashon. There's no question, and I've said this many times in many different ways, there are 2 ways to acquire the Torah. One is through inspiration, and one is through perspiration. 2 types of Asians. Inspiration is very important. All of us need inspiration. We have to be inspired from time to time. Yom Tov is designed to inspire us. Purim is designed to inspire us. But we can't expect to be on a high every single day of the year. That would be artificial. It would be the pagan approach. It would be the approach of somehow expecting to be constantly on stimuli. So most of the year, we have to, shall we say, apply the second modality, which is perspiration. That's the grinding out of the yardage to get to the goalpost. From time to time, we all need inspiration. Anyone who expects just to be inspired 24/7, 365 days of the year, is engaged in self-deception. And the way to ultimately get there, once in a while, a nice 35-yard pass, engineered well, orchestrated well by the quarterback, by the blockers, giving him time to find the intended receiver, b'chulu b'chulu, tight end, whomever it is. But ultimately, the real way is through perspiration. That's what the Gemara says here in Megillah. Yogato Motsasa Tami. Yogato Motsasa mean if you decide to utilize the modality of perspiration, Tami. Lo Yogato Motsasa. I went to a Kalbach concert. I went to Hey Davut Tanios.
It's a miracle.
I thought I was with a black choral group.
I believe in miracles. Miracles are real.
I like the spiel. The spiel was tremendous. Yeah. The spiel was so good last night. Was it last night or 2 nights ago? 2 nights ago. The spiel was outstanding. Especially the one with my colleague, Mickey. You don't know Mickey well. I know him quite well. I have the dubious distinction of often traveling to the Pittsburghs. Anyway, back to the Yisod. The Yisod of Ratzo Amanas Loshu is the following Yisod. Ratzo, yes, I want inspiration, and hopefully I will be inspired, and I should be inspired. And trust me, when I used to go to the Rav Shuvah Drashas, when I used to go to the Rav Soloveitchik's Yotzeit Shurim, and I told you, I said this a number of times, I drove from St. Louis to New York, straight, 24 hours of driving. I told my wife Shlita, and my kids were very young then, only 3 pit stops. No one drinks for a day before. That's what I'm joking. That's my wife. I came there, I heard the shiur, I didn't even have to drive back. The car was all unfinished. It was a magic carpet operation. It was like the time of Yenis of Uziel, who said that night, Hashem took them on a magic carpet to Yerushalayim, they brought the carpet Pesach, and they were brought back to Mitzrayim. I was zochet inspiration, the true drasha that I heard, it was my bones, literally, went right through my bones. I was shaking all the way to Yom Kippur and for months after. The inspiration was enough to, Baruch Hashem, plug me into perspiration the rest of the year. And that combination of inspiration plus perspiration is what the Jewish religion is all about. That's the yisod of the love of Pasha Shemini. Meiridika yisod. People ask me, unfortunately, the last 2.5 years has not been a great situation, neither in America, actually, in Israel, the economy here is a bit better. Because in America, they did a lot of things, probably they're not too responsible. I have a nephew who's in mortgage financing. He has not sold a house in the last 2.5 years. But the 7, 8, 9, 10 years prior to that, he's, Baruch Hashem, rolling. Rolling means in greenbacks. How did he do that? He sold houses to people without any credit whatsoever. Could you be Mexican? No credit! I don't want to describe the types of people he sold houses to. Let's not get into it right now. But I wouldn't call them the most, shall we say, aristocratic types. People without credit, without a dollar in the bank. And the banks lent money left and right. He was on a roller coaster. Gewaldig! It was pure inspiration. No perspiration, pure inspiration. And what happened to that balloon? Love it? It popped is the understatement of the year. You know something? There's a lesson to be learned from that. The lesson is, don't think that overnight you're going to become a great Talmud Chacham. Don't think that overnight you're going to become what they call Usher. That's how they use the term. Usher means Ayin Vav Shin Resh. Everyone wants to become wealthy overnight. Who doesn't? Is anyone in this room that does not want to become wealthy by tomorrow morning? I cannot imagine. I'm including myself as well. Who doesn't? But is that reality? Of course not. It's living in a chalom is by Spanish, the Gemara call it. A chalom in Spain. It's the same you saw. You want to, shall we say, make a living, make a good living? Trust me, you have to work for it. Yigia kapecha kisecha ashrecha b'teiwach. And ultimately, you're much better off for it. Much better off. Because you acquire the work ethic, not just the work ethic, but the energy that's required in order to drive the work ethic. And ultimately, as I said, become the kinyan nefesh. That's the yisoid of shalom. We have to operate on terra firma with Newton's law of gravity. From time to time, we need inspiration. All of us need it. We need it in the davening. We need it in the learning. And this perhaps is the pshat in the beginning of Acharemos. If you don't mind my saying so, pasuk says, Acharemos shnei bnei Aaron bekarvasu v'Hashem v'yavusu. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Dabir Aaron Achicha, Val Yomo Mechalei Sel HaKodesh. Person thinks he's going to be inspired all the time. Al Yomo Mechalei Sel HaKodesh. Doesn't work that way. Yes, once in a while. Yom Kippur. Other days. Bizois Yomo Aaron Al HaKodesh, Bifar Ben Bokal Lachatos, Vayel Oilo, Bizois. You know what Bizois means? If you have the perspiration behind you, then you become a lakadesh and expect inspiration. Without perspiration, there will be no inspiration. And I believe this is the yisod in life, probably the most important yisod in that very nice sefer called Discourses of Rav Soloveitchik and Parshas Shmini. And I think it applies in so many areas, especially in Limud HaTorah. Especially in Limud HaTorah, but even in the world at large. Don't expect overnight to become affluent and wealthy. Everyone dreams they're going to win the Irish sweepstakes. It doesn't work that way. Even wealthy people, you should know. And I've met a fair number of wealthy people in my days. Especially I'm involved in the wonderful task that I have of trying to raise money for the yeshiva. I've met wealthy people. Don't you all think that these wealthy people acquire their wealth simply by snapping their fingers, by as they say in Chinese, das geht nicht, das doesn't work that way. They acquired it through a lot of hard work, sometimes enormous amounts of hard work, through all kinds of, shall we say, investments, which they had to really be mashkia. They're very neshama. I hear from people all the time. So let's not be duped. Let's try to somehow create a world where we can have a combination of rutzo, yes, let's be inspired, let's come to great heights, but it should be at a foundation of perspiration, of shov, of living in this world. And with that combination, there's no question, certainly in terms of Limud HaTorah, the way a person comes to Talmud Chacham, again, I'll use the example which I also don't think is an unfair example. I went to yeshiva, I learned in a number of yeshivas, and I learned together with a number of big Iluyim. Iluyim, I mean, people who are geniuses. Geniuses. Did necessarily all these geniuses become Rosh Yeshiva? No. Who became some of the biggest Rosh Yeshiva that I know? I'm not saying these people were dumb cops. They weren't dumb cops. They were big politicians, but they weren't geniuses. But they plugged away, little by little, every Rashi, every Tosis, every Daf, every Perek, every Masechta, little by little, they acquired Masechtas. There was inspiration, but it was primarily founded upon a foundation of perspiration. That's the Yisod. And if we acquire this Yisod, we take Purim, the heights of Purim, the beauty of Purim, where it all comes out. That's the beauty of Purim. I was looking for about 10 seconds at that beautiful cell phone of Rabbi Dr. Gil Amalei. Wow. It was quite revealing. It's quite beautiful, actually. But I saw some of it as well on Purim night, even though, as I told you, there's no mitzvah to get drunk on Purim night, and that of Dali Yisrael, Avar Tzalavetchik, that's how, it's an Avera. But aside from that,
it's my opinion.
Rabbi Olshin claims there is such an opinion. I'm not sure who he's referring to. It's certainly not the accepted opinion in Halacha, that's for sure. But whatever the case is, it's in that sefer called I looked at the master bitch, you have to show it to me. I didn't see it exactly.
I heard it was in the Nirshimas.
Okay. But the yisod of Rotso Amanas Losha. That's the yisod of Kolat HaKula. And as the Gemara said in Shabbos, the idach Zil Bimar. Halavai, all of us should be zeicha to absorb that yisod and become outstanding Tamil Chacham and Mietz Hashem with the key of Yogata Umatzasa Otam.
Yeah.